This is Bronson Hermuth coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm sitting with Steve Cropper. How did you become a member of the Blues Brothers Band? How did that come about?
Well, there's a lot of history behind that situation. I'll try to make it quick. It's a good story. We had been friends with Levon Helm for a long time. And I don't know if there's very many people out there remember when the band did their concert called The Last Waltz.
What a show.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Oh, man.
And the artists that were on that and so forth.
Still is today if you watch
it. Well, yeah. It's still a great performance. Great. But the gist of that was going to be their last concert.
Right.
And they were splitting up as a band. And we all know how famous they were. And they were all, you know, Robinson and everybody, they were all going to go separate ways. So I get a phone call from Duck. And we were living out in California. And Duck said, "Do you need me for anything in the next week or so?" And I said, "Well, I don't have anything coming up." Because, you know, anytime I had a session or whatever, Duck would, you know, I'd be using Duck on bass and so forth. And he said, "Well, I just got a call last night from Levon Helm, and he's recording a new album, and he wants me to come up to Woodstock and play on it." I said, "Well, man, go have a ball. Tell Levon I said hello, you know."
Yeah.
And about 2 days later, I get a phone call, and he said, "Levon wants to know what you're doing in the next couple of weeks." I said, "Well, believe it or not, I don't have any projects. I'm not mixing anything. I don't have any sessions coming up." And in those days out in California, that was in the 70s, I was doing a lot of sessions and a lot of recording, a lot of producing and stuff. But it just so happened that I wasn't doing anything at that time, and he said, "Well, he wants you to come up and play on this." And I was up there with old Nashville's Fred Carter, played on that, and Dr. John and Paul Butterfield, and the horns that were on that were the horns from Saturday Night Live. And we recorded an album, and he decided to go on the road with it, and we did. We went out and did a kind of a summer tour. We went all over the United States, and we also did a tour in Japan, which was a lot of fun. And then about a year or so later, he decided to do another album and another tour, which we did, and it was basically the same guys. And John Belushi saw us perform at the Palladium in New York on a New Year's Eve show. And it was a lot of fun, and he hung, come to the after party and all that sort of stuff. And he really kind of, he liked that band, you know. So when they had been doing this thing called the Blues Brothers, and it started out as the Buzzy Bees, I think, was the first time. And then they got the idea of doing the hats and glasses and being blues guys. And they used to go out and entertain the audience as a warm-up and go out and do a song or two before they actually started the taping of Saturday Night Live. And as the story that I got, there was this one week when one of the scripts wasn't working. They kept doing the rewrites, and they just, by showtime, they just didn't have it together. And Lorne Michaels said, "Get the hats and glasses on and go out there and do that and fill that spot," because they had this blank spot in the show. And so they did. Well, the fan mail and the, you know, the response of that was just overwhelming. So they kept it on the show, and that was done with the Saturday Night Live band that existed then, which was with the horn players that are still with the Blues Brothers today. And Steve Martin, who was a writer for Saturday Night Live and used to do the show quite a bit, had this record out called King Tut, which was way up the charts. It was a goofy thing, but it was very popular. And so he got this offer to do, I think it was 9 dates at the Universal Amphitheater out in L.A. And so he called Belushi, and he said, "Look," he said, I'm contracted to do these 9 dates, and I want you and Danny to open the show for me." And John said, "Well, we don't do stand-up comedy." He said, "Well, what do you want us to do?" And he said, "I don't care what you do. I just want you to open for me." And so John said, "Well, can we play music?" And he said, "Well, sure. You want to play music?" And he said, "Okay." So he goes to Tom Malone, the leader of the band on Saturday Night Live, and he said, "Tom," he said, "here's what's going on. Here's what we need to do. We got to put a band together." And the question was, and this is what Tom Malone told me, the question was, "Do we take the whole Saturday Night Live band, or do you have some other ideas of musicians?" And he said, "You got to get Cropper and Dunn, or Dunn and Cropper," from the second movie, if you remember us being DJs.
Yeah.
And he said, "They're like old road dogs." He said, "We've been out on the road with them with Levon Helm for 2 years, and you know those guys. You saw them play at the Palladium." And Tom was trying to describe me to John, and he said, "The guy with the long hair," he said, "he's not a guitar player, he's a roadie." And Tom says, "No, man," he said, "that's Steve Cropper from Stax and all that." He said, "No, man," he said, "that guy's a roadie. I saw him at the after party." And So anyway, he was with Phil Walden, who was Otis Redding's manager one night in New York in a limo or whatever. And he said, you know, you were Otis's manager. Tell me about this Steve Cropper guy. What's he look like? And so Phil described him, and he said, God, it really is him. So I got a phone call, and I was in the studio mixing Robin Ford's album. I was just about done with it, and I had about two songs left, and I get this call, and it's John Belushi on the phone. I said, no, I thought it was a friend of mine pulling a prank, because that's the way he used to get in whenever we had the phone shut off and we were busy mixing. And he said, this is John Belushi. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, I need you up here. I said, I put you on a plane. I need you up here tomorrow. We're going to start rehearsing. He said, we're going to do some shows, and I'm putting a band together. And he said, I already got Duck done, and the rest of the guys, and I need you up here. And I said, I can't do it today. I said, no way. I said, I'm in the middle of mixing an album, and I know I'm not going to be finished for another week, you know. And he said, I got to have you, got to have you. Kept me on the phone. Finally, I got him off the phone after about 45 minutes or so. And Robin Ford was sitting in the control room. He said, who are you talking to? And I said, John Belushi. And he wants me to come to New York and be in a band. And he said, I'll do it. And I said, no, you won't. So I beat Robin Ford out on that, because Robin probably would have done it. You know, he's a much better guitar player than I am. But anyway.
I don't know about that.
So I talked to Robin, and I talked with my engineers, and I said, what if we do this? We got two more songs to mix. What if I go up there? I'll call them and see if I can put them off a day, and you guys finish mixing the album, and send we could, you know, FedEx the overnight the mixes to me, and I'll listen to them, and if there's any changes and all that. And they said, oh, I'd be fine. And thank God that Robin, you know, agreed to do that. Some artists wouldn't, but he